Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
And you know what, Javier? We always start with, like, getting right into the episode. How you doing this week?
I'm doing great. I mean, I know I'm doing significantly better than you are as a Toronto sports fan, because my Boston Celtics made it through to the Eastern Conference Finals, defeating the Raptors in a Game 7 that had me very clenched.
Yes.
Shouldn't have even gone to 7.
Truly clenched.
I was so clenched.
Yes. Life as a Toronto sports fan is disappointing at best.
You won a title.
Yeah. That was literally our peak. Our last peak before that was the bat flip game by Jose Bautista. That was it. Aside from that, we haven't had anything good since 92 when we won the World Series. Or I guess 92.
Oh, I mean, if we're taking all sports into account, I'm like 2 years removed from winning the World Series.
Yeah, so. I remember a time when I was really young that Boston sports were really bad, and then that just stopped.
Yeah, now they're all good. Yeah. I don't care about the Patriots or hockey, but like they're all good, I guess.
I mean, fuck the Patriots. But anyways.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Fuck the Patriots. Fuck the Packers, too.
Hey.
While we're at it.
I hate this. Welcome to Crossbody Work. We don't talk just about sports. We talk about other stuff, too. Specifically, a new wrestler each week. And this week, we are covering the career of Too Cold Scorpio, a.k.a. Flash Funk.
Yes.
As we mentioned on an old pod, this was my doing. It was like, I know nothing about Too Cold Scorpio, and I want to know everything about Too Cold Scorpio. And I'll be damned, the man has some good matches.
I just know him as Flash Funk from the Job Squad, and that's all I care about.
But now we have a deeper appreciation because we know a little bit more about him aside from just being on the Job Squad.
I'll be honest, I still wanted more Flash Funk on the Job Squad. I love the fact, listen, he's a great talent, amazing talent, definitely a guy with a lot of personality, not a great talker, as you could just tell by the promo. It was very entertaining, but it wasn't exactly Stone Cold Steve Austin-esque.
No.
I think he was definitely a fun wrestler. He's a fun wrestler.
And sometimes you got to mix it up. We just went from Bret Hart, a.k.a. like the most serious man to walk planet Earth. So we need to mix it up with some fun.
If you were to give me Too Cold Scorpio, I'd say he's a solid 5 out of 10.
That's fair. But we're going to go through
on
all the
Bret
matches.
Hart scale.
We go through 5 matches of each wrestler we cover and one of their promos. This week's promo is very funny, and we'll get to it when we get to it.
It's the greatest promo of all time.
Before we do, let's plug the socials, and we have a special announcement. Very excited for that. Javier, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on the Twitter machines at jmellosports. Evan, tell them what I retweet.
You retweet things from, not from me, but I'll plug myself first. It's Evan Gomes, ITSEVANGOMES on Twitter. And you can follow the podcast on Twitter or Instagram at Crossbody of Work. That's where you mainly retweet. It's from the Crossbody of Work account.
Yeah.
You can also follow Full Press Coverage and Full Press Coverage Wrestling Team at FPC_wrestling. And, you know, check out the
read
rest of
the... Read my AEW recaps.
Yes, read Javier's AEW recaps. They are excellent.
They're back.
They're back with a vengeance. Also, the merch table is set up at fullpressshop.com. Go there. Buy the t-shirts. Wear the t-shirts. Send us pictures. We love to see it. Mine is still in the mail because Canada.
That makes a lot of sense.
Like, it's gotta be shipped here via polar bear. It's a whole thing. It's a lot.
Mine is still in the cart because I keep forgetting to buy them.
Bruh, you gotta buy it. If we're plugging other people to buy it, we gotta remember to buy it. Let's get to the announcement. This is exciting.
That's true.
This is an exciting thing. We have an announcement. And what it is, I don't know how, there's just so much buildup. Here's what it is. We have a new show coming.
Yes.
We are expanding, baby.
Yes.
Into the world of Sportscaster. Yes. So on Sportscaster, the Sportscaster app, sportscaster.com, you can catch our new show, Crossbody Countdown. Every week, Javier and I will get together after SmackDown on Friday nights to recap the wrestling week that was. Imagine PTI, except with these two cool dudes. That's exactly what it's going to be like, recapping the week in wrestling that was. We're still going to be doing this, still going to be doing the Crossbody of Work show as normal, but adding an additional video element. You can catch us and see our mugs. But man, I'm excited. It's going to be fun.
Just think about us as your wrestling equivalent of Uncle Tony and Michael Wilbon, just with a lot less sauce.
Oh, significantly less sauce. Hopefully building up the sauce repertoire over time.
And we will never be able to get to their standard.
Not even
but
close.
we hope to at least get a quarter of the way there eventually.
Every week after SmackDown, we're going to hop onto Sportscaster. We're going to talk about the week in wrestling that was, talk about news, talk about rumors, talk about the shows that happened, and probably also talk about a bunch of random crap happening, not just in the wrestling world, but in the sports world and maybe in the real world. Though the real world is pretty trash. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This show is basically just going to expose the fact that I don't watch any actual wrestling anymore.
We're going to have to change that. We're going to start watching
all the things. I refuse to watch Monday Night Raw. I refuse.
It is painful to get through, but we'll complain about it together. So, like I said, Crossbody Countdown now coming at you Fridays after SmackDown. You'll catch us on the Sportscaster, sportscaster.com. Yeah, very exciting stuff. We're excited to do it. We're excited to have you all tune in and get more of your wrestling content from the boys.
Yes.
Good time. So we go right into Too Cold.
Too Cold Scorpio, Flash Funk from the Job Squad. Evan, take it away.
Too Cold Scorpio is a strange name.
It's a name that I really respect, though.
Oh yeah, like that. It's a statement piece.
Yeah, he's too cold, and I like the fact that the two is actually the number two.
Yeah, that's the sauce right there.
The man's got the drip. He's got the drip. I mean, you see it later on, especially in his Flash Funk match. My man's got it.
The man's got it. Let's start with our first match, Starrcade 1992. It is the Lethal Lottery. For those who are unfamiliar with the Lethal Lottery, the way that it worked is a random tag draw. So there was a bunch of wrestlers who were all in a bingo hopper, essentially, and they would pull the names out, and they would make teams. Those teams would have a tag team match. The winners would go on to a battle royal. The winner of the battle royal, I believe, would get a title shot at another show. Become
they
the number
go
one
to battle brawl.
Yeah.
Battle bowl.
The battle bowl. It was the battle bowl. So this one, the random draw, is Too Cold Scorpio teaming with Flying Brian Pillman against Barry Windham and the Great Muta. And the beauty of this draw is, we were talking about it before we started recording, this is legit a shoot. Like, this was a real random draw.
Yeah, like, this is, and it's most evident by the fact that Barry Windham literally has a tag team title match later on in the show.
With Flying Brian Pillman as his partner. Like, they were tag team partners, and they were challenging for the tag titles the other night, and the tag titles were held by a random team, too. Shane Douglas and Ricky Steamboat?
What?
Yeah, that sounds like two guys who would not be friends.
What? Okay, here's the thing. There's, like, nothing babyface about Shane Douglas, and Ricky Steamboat is, like, the ultimate babyface.
Yeah, but is there nothing babyface about Shane Douglas because of what we know about him as a human being?
I just don't think that there was anything redeeming about Shane Douglas, the character.
Yeah,
he was just kind of,
right.
Like, jock dude.
Yeah, he is kind of, like, big.
And then
big
he was
jock,
just kind of, like, there with ECW.
I mean, he was the franchise in ECW. Like, he was the whole show for a while.
Like, yeah, but if you call yourself the franchise, like, you gotta be John Cena. And he's not John Cena.
It worked for Steve Francis. That's right. Basketball references. Happening on the pod.
And how well did that go for him?
Steve Francis was good. So I thought this was a really wonderful concept. I was talking to you again before we started recording. They should bring back the Lethal Lottery for NXT. I think that roster, I think AEW could do it too. I think that would be fun. But AEW also has so many established tag teams that in order to get a full roster, you need to like have broken up tag teams, which is part of the fun, I guess.
Yeah, like I really don't need Jungle Boy and Ortiz going up against like Dustin Rhodes and Kenny Omega. Like, I just don't need that.
No, that's not a random match I need to see. But I really think NXT could do a good job with it. I think that would be fun. But let's talk about this specific match and our first taste of Too Cold Scorpio in the ring. The man has some real good arm drags. First note.
The first thing I noticed straight away, why is the ring so small?
It does look small.
It straight up looks like, what are those, like, the little robots, like the blue and the red
ones? The Rock'em Sock'em robots?
Yeah, it straight up looks like a Rock'em Sock'em Robots ring. Like, it's just so tiny for no reason at all.
It is pretty strange. I don't know.
To be fair, I'm used to WWE and New Japan rings that are massive.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's
when you compare it to that, it does look strange. I don't think I noticed it at first. I think because we've watched enough older stuff now that I'm used to the rings changing size. I think that was something that threw me off at the first, like, when we first started doing these episodes, and we'd go back a little bit further, I'd be like, that's weird, like, they're smaller.
This one was, like, noticeably really small. Like, Muta and Scorpio are just standing in the middle of the ring, and it's like, all right, if he literally just reaches his arm out, he's touching the rope.
Yeah, hard to get the hot tags working in here because you're always near your partner.
Yeah, it's weird. But, yeah, some good arm drags, but a great spinning back kick from Muta pretty early on here. That just looked amazing.
Speaking of looking amazing, Barry Windham's mullet. Holy shit. It is maybe the harshest mullet I've ever seen. Like, the most disconnect of, like, the party in the back to the business in the front. That man's mullet looked like a helmet. That was, like, concerning.
So it's the opposite of Joe Dirt.
Yes. Yes. It was, like, weirdly, I don't know. It was a weird look for Barry Windham. I couldn't take him seriously the whole match. And, like, Barry Windham is a talented wrestler, and we're going to see him again in the next match. Could not take
seriously. We'll get to my thoughts on Barry Windham.
The other star of this match, to me, is Brian Pillman. And we have seen Pillman in a couple matches throughout other guys. But you're right, not enough. And the Pillman dropkick is money.
Oh, yeah.
Real
good.
No.
Brian Pillman is awesome. It's honestly just watching him gets me so excited to see Brian Pillman Jr. coming up. Because if he can get just like 75% of what his dad was, like that, like Brian Pillman was awesome. You know, out of the ring issues aside, like the guy was an incredible wrestler. He was incredibly fun to watch, and he had a really good look to him. And I mean, Jr. looks exactly like him. So scary how similar he looks. And he's a little taller, too. So, you know, it's really exciting. I know he's still super young, but I hope that we're able to see some cool things with Brian Pillman Jr. coming up here in AEW.
The future of the business is in good hands. There's so many talented young wrestlers coming up right now that, like, we're going to be
headlined by Dominic Mysterio.
Absolutely. Headlined by El Hijo del Mysterio. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Spanish, baby.
I hate the fact that that would be his name if he went literally any other company.
Yep, 100% it would be. What are some other spots you liked in this one?
I mean, just the whole exchange at the beginning between Muta and Scorpio was awesome.
Really good.
It was very fast-paced, kind of frenetic, which is a change, especially with the older WCW stuff in the early 90s rather than the later version of it. And then Windham comes in and just ruins my mellow.
Just you are not a Windham fan, eh?
He just slowed it down, and it's like, all right, you know, we've got Muta, we've got Scorpio, we've got Flying Brian, and you're telling me now this guy's got to come in and ruin it? This JBL-looking mofo?
Yeah, it really does look at it, and it's like there's three talented high flyers, acrobatic guys, able to do a lot of athleticism thing, and then Windham is like, I am a southern grappler.
Yeah, that is exactly what Windham is like. I'm sure Barry Windham was awesome in the 80s. And, you know, I'm sure he had his time. Wasn't he in the Midnight Express?
I'm gonna say yes.
It was him and Bobby, but it doesn't matter. But like, yeah, I'm sure he was fun in those times. And hey, probably made a great NWA champion. It just wasn't it in the 90s, man. You can't put him in a match like this and expect me to not get bored.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Though, whenever it was Muta in the ring, it was a much different vibe.
Yeah, it was so fun.
I love the way Muta moves in the ring. Like, yeah, he's kind of weird.
It's kind of kung fu-ish. He definitely has a little element of martial arts into his style, which honestly, it's not something you see even in wrestling today. So, you know, it's really cool. And I think it's a glaring hole, you know, especially here in America. Like, yeah, why can't there be a guy who incorporates a little bit of the martial arts style? Not the MMA stuff, but like the literal, you know, karate, taekwondo, stuff like that.
I think you're advocating for Steve Blackman to come back.
I think I am. And I am 100% on board with that, because as the people who have been listening from the jump with this podcast know, I'm a big Steve Blackman guy.
There is a spot near the end, closer to the end of the match, where there's a leaping roundhouse kick by Muda to Pillman's neck, and then Muda goes to kind of advance on him when he's down, and Pillman just grabs like the front part of his pants, of Muda's pants, and pulls him down into the middle turnbuckle. I love that move. Like, I thought it was a really creative way to get out of, you know, out of danger.
Harm's way.
Yeah, that was good.
There's also a spot where I think it was still when Wyndham and Scorpio were in the ring. I think it was a little later on in the match, though, where Scorpio just sells the ever-loving crap out of a punch. Just a random haymaker. And he sells it like he's down for the count. Like Mike Tyson just knocked his lights out.
Good seller.
Yeah, it was really fun. There was another spinning back kick by Muda to Scorpio. And honestly, that's when we get to the finish, really.
The slingshot, like, front flip splash that Scorpio does.
That the slingshot 450?
Yeah.
That looks awesome.
Dude, it is, and they were so casual. I guess he does it a lot. They were so casual about it. And when I saw it, I was like, I did not expect that man to do that.
Yeah, that's not something you see even, like, in ROH.
Somebody steal that. Ricochet. Poach that move right now, man.
Yeah, Cedric Alexander, Ricochet, Matt Sydal to a much lesser extent. Sammy Guevara.
Somebody athletic, steal that move. But yeah, we get right into the finish where Wyndham plants Scorpio with a DDT, which I believe is his finish.
It's a paradigm shift.
It is a paradigm shift, yeah. And then Muda hits a moonsault for the three count. So Muda and Wyndham move on. And
Muda missed the moonsault.
He hit it enough.
Muda missed. He missed. He was like, so Mans was laid down, center of the ring. Muda like landed just above his head.
Yeah.
Like, he did not connect at all.
But Muda needed to win because Muda actually wins Battle Bowl.
Oh!
Later in the night. Yeah, Muda is the one who wins the Battle Bowl later in the night. I checked it out.
Yes!
Yeah, good for Muda.
Who did he face? Sting?
Probably. I think he would have faced Sting, yeah.
92? It might have been Sting. Was it Ron Simmons? No, Simmons wasn't the champion yet, was he?
No, Simmons was champion at this time, yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah. So, yeah, he faced Ron Simmons. I got to look that match up.
On to the next match, which Javier's going to love because it's more Barry Windham. NWA Championship match against Barry Windham. I feel like I know your thoughts on the match, probably, but get into it.
I thought it was all right. I liked the little bit of offense that Scorpio got. Listen, like, it's not that I hate Barry Windham in this. Like, this match is fine because I was expecting it. When it's a match where it's like three of the elements out of the four in a match are like very high flying and fast paced kind of guys, and then me just throw in this one guy who's like, yeah, screw all of that, it's like, all right, that's kind of a bummer.
Whereas, but when it's just a like one-on-one,
when it's one-on-one, it's like, well, I know what I'm expecting here.
So this is Clash of the Champions 23, and there's a little note for people. The link that we're adding in the article that has all the matches is the full Clash of the Champions 23. I couldn't just find the isolated one. You just got to skip to about 25 minutes in to get to the match. Before the match, two things. One, Barry Windham has ponytailed the mullet, which is heartbreaking because that thing was glorious. There's also a zoomed in on this sign in the crowd that is like a Lisa Frank looking sign that says Barry Windham is sexy. And it's got little photos of Barry Windham all over it. It is my favorite thing. I might have to screenshot it and make it my Twitter header because it's fucking hilarious.
And then just Photoshop it
with me. Yes, with my face. Yes, exactly. I love that the camera panned and zoomed in on that one sign because that person put a lot of effort into it. And that's a really embarrassing thing to admit publicly, is that you think Barry Windham is sexy.
It's like me. Like, I've got to take a screenshot or something of the sign of that guy had that was like, Roman is a wank pheasant.
Yeah.
And instead of Roman, I'm just going to put Hogan. Hogan is a wank pheasant.
Yes. Anytime we can dunk on Hogan on this podcast, we will take that opportunity.
Yeah. Screw Hogan, but also screw Michael Buffer. He's not as good as his brother.
yeah, you have gone on record of being a Bruce Buffer guy, and I am the same because I watch more UFC than I did boxing.
And I did Although I did WCW. Like how he kind of made this like legit. He was talking about like their records and stuff. Like,
yeah,
he's competed in over 400 matches and stuff like that. I thought that was pretty cool.
That is cool. Also, Barry Windham gets referred to as the Lone Wolf. Is he Baron Corbin's dad?
It would make a lot of sense physically.
It would make a lot of sense. I'm not saying that he's not, but I'm not saying that he is.
So at some point, the people need to talk about Baron Corbin and how weird he looks, because it looks like he's got a singlet on, but he doesn't got a singlet on. What is this outfit? We really got to change it. Like,
I still
how
think
do you
the
go
biggest
from...
heel move he's ever made is shaving his head independently instead of doing a hair versus hair match.
Admittedly, the hair was just gone. Like, my man's hairline was all the way back. Like, his widow's peak was non-existent at this point. It was just time.
It was time, man. But apparently Barry Windham got that nickname for splitting off from the Four Horsemen, who we have mentioned on the podcast before, because we covered Arn Anderson back in episode, like, yes. 17.
And also because they're probably the most iconic faction of all time outside of the NWO.
And Ric Flair keeps popping up on this podcast all of the damn time.
Yes, yes, and he will be back eventually.
Let's talk the actual match. What are some spots you liked?
Yeah, I mean, almost immediately, Scorpio hits a drop kick that looked real good. And then he, like, put on this, like, it was a lion tamer, but they called it, like, a single-leg Boston Crab, and I guess I wasn't paying attention at the time, so I was like, ooh, submission, let me look and pay attention. Because I am that person, I only care about wrestling when there's submission holds. And weird little covers, like crucifix pins. And so I looked, and I'm like, oh, shit, he's got a lion tamer on. So Chris Jericho stole the lion tamer from Too Cold Scorpio.
These are just facts.
Windham, is that an asshole? Because he carried himself like an asshole. And then he
is a good heel.
Yeah, he is in effect. He got me to hate him, and I know nothing about Barry Windham. Exactly. So clearly, the man did his job. He hit a DDT for a near fall, and then I think it was Jesse Ventura and Tony Schiavone on commentary.
Yep.
Is that correct? Yeah, Ventura goes, because I guess Scorpio did a tour of Japan like right before this match took place, and Ventura goes, what did he think? The raw fish would make him stronger?
Oh, Jesse Ventura.
This is how this man became the governor of Minnesota, I will never know. But also, it's Minnesota, so
hey,
like, it makes a lot of sense.
We have given lots of good shout-outs to Minnesota in this podcast, and we will continue with that.
Yes, so, I like the state of Minnesota. You people are just politically so weird.
Ventura also has a line later where he says, after this match, they might call him Out Cold Scorpio. And I thought that was really funny. I remember that. A really good line. I was like, guys,
I remember that one.
He's got a good point there.
And then Windham, a little down the line, hits a Samoan drop that Tony called a crucifix.
Yeah, there were some weird calls in not just this match, but a couple other matches. The only match that I don't think has one is the ECW match. The first
ECW
match.
See, I feel Tony Schiavone used to always get dunked on before his resurgence with MLW and AEW. And it was really because, like, you could think about it, like, this point of Tony Schiavone, he doesn't really have much experience in wrestling. Yeah. Like, he's always been a sports guy who kind of migrated over. And then, like, later on, like, in the late 90s, early 2000s, in that era of WCW, he kind of was just phoning it in because, I mean, everyone phoned it in there.
As we said, everybody was phoning it in but Booker T.
Yeah, and, like, now you hear him and he's really good and like really good. Like he's the best commentator on AEW. He's arguably the best commentator in all of wrestling right now. So it's like, yeah.
This match was a lot of Barry Windham in control and Scorpio fighting from underneath.
Yeah,
and I thought Scorpio
like, what,
did a
13
lot.
Minutes?
Yeah, around there. I thought Scorpio did a really good job of fighting from underneath, and when he had the opportunity to be to get a little shine, he did a really good job. I thought that a lot of his comebacks looked really great. There was one where I always love when it looks like the comeback is coming and then the heel cuts it off really quickly.
Yeah.
And there was one where it was like a sunset flip, two count, Windham got up immediately and closed line Scorpio. And I was like, that's great, because I thought people thought that, you know, the big spot was coming from Scorpio. Windham cuts him back down.
Yeah.
after you mentioned the called victory roll that wasn't a victory roll, or actually right before that, Scorpio Hood reversed a superplex and dropped Wyndham face down, and then hits a splash where he gets so fucking high.
And he does the thing that, so Montez Ford has been getting a lot of praise recently for doing the splash where he like rotates in midair, like changes directions as to where he's going, and he gets a lot of height. Too Cold Scorpio did that exact same thing, and it honestly looked like he got higher than Ford does.
I still think Montez Ford has all the tools to be a gigantic star.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the promos that Scorpio didn't have. And the thing is, I think it's more impressive here with Scorpio because he was a thicker guy.
Scorpio's like, a big dude.
He's a big dude. He didn't look that way when he was Flash Funk later on in the Job Squad. But here, my man's got some meat on those bones.
That's true. Should we go right to the finish?
He hits a super kick, by the way. And he does. I think every time I see someone hit a super kick, it's just my mind immediately goes to the PWG commentators going, "Super kick!" because of the Young Bucks. And I hate it. I hate it so much because I've seen maybe 3 PWG shows in my life, and I think the Bucks were on one of them. So the fact that that is now ingrained in my mind is the worst.
You go right into the finish.
Yes. He hits that 450 we're talking about, the slingshot one. It's that so looked good. Awesome. He hits a top rope drop kick where he like did a moonsault into a drop kick for a near fall. And I was like, what? What is this? They don't even do that in ROH?
No.
And yeah, I mean, the finish really, Wyndham punches the lights out of him again. And then hits like a, I guess he tried to go for his paradigm shift finish again. But he just kind of ended up falling straight down on his knees.
Dropped him down.
It was like an inverted DDT, like the one that Christian used to do, except he landed on his knees instead of going all the way down. It just looked really weird, and he won with it, which was like not as cool as backflip into the freaking leg drop that Scorpio hit before this.
But again, I think it's an effective heel move, like to just not win in a cool way, like just get the job done. Like, I know it's weird because it's like wrestling is always a performance. So at what point are you just like robbing people of a good move? Or where you just like,
yeah, make me have fun.
Yeah. I mean, we did have fun watching Scorpio get his offense in because, like I said, him working from underneath was excellent. I thought he did a really good job.
Like, seriously, this was a 13 minute match and 11 and a half minutes of it is probably barely
Scorpio getting his ass kicked. Yep. Let's take our first commercial break. When we get back, we're watching the dopest shit we've ever seen. Back from the break, and that is how I prefaced this promo to Javier. So we have our master sheet of all the matches we're watching, and when I found this promo / music video / hype package for Too Cold Scorpio, all I titled it with the link was "The Dopest Shit You've Ever Seen."
And he sent me a message. He told me this was the dopest shit you'll ever see.
And I'm glad I didn't oversell it because this lived up to the hype. This, I don't know.
He really didn't oversell it, people.
I don't know when this is from. It's clearly from his WCW time. So I just put it at the end of us covering his WCW time. It is kind of a music video to his own theme.
It is incredible in every way. This is a music video that I 100%... believe came out of the early 2000s, but it actually isn't from the early 2000s. But like, if you told me that Nelly just came out of nowhere and just started like flicking his shoulders or up and around, you know, like I would totally believe it.
Where are the Saint Lunatics? They have to be here. So the way this whole video starts, and again, I encourage everyone to watch this. It's like 2.5 minutes and it's fantastic. It is Too Cold Scorpio on a green screen, and he's saying that we need to buckle up for a ride on Airscope Scorpio. Great. We get a shot of in black and white of kids playing basketball, and the way that it's like shown is it's all black and white, but there's always a box of color. So like,
yeah,
certain things are in frame and in color, and certain things aren't. It's very weird. But a limo rolls up, and the woman from the start of Too Cold Scorpio's theme yells, "Everybody, here comes Too Cold Scorpio." Of course, the basketball bounces into the roof of the limo, and you can see Scorpio in the limo catch it.
Yeah, because the kid bricked the hell out of the shot. So first off,
the kid took a Paul George shot.
Wow.
Bricks.
It's like past Gauss-Jakob shooting threes out here.
Oh. Pain.
But yeah, I mean, it's also important to preference. Apparently, these kids are just playing basketball before school starts.
And they're not going to go to school. They're going to go to the arcade.
Yeah, it's like, these kids are like also like 8, 9 years old, probably. I'm terrible at judging the ages of children between the age between like 5 and like 12. You just all look the same.
They're all 7.
Yeah, you're all 7.
So the ball bounces into the limo, like I said, and then you see Scorpio get out of the limo as two girls pop out of the sunroof of the limo for some reason.
Yeah.
Scorpio then doesn't say a word, just dribbles onto the court and dunks on the white kid.
And like that, racism is ended.
You're not wrong. I loved it. He dunks on him, and the one kid just says, "Man, that was too cold." It's like, you're telling me, dude, he just dunked on your friend.
That kid is like 7 years old, and if I was one of his friends, he would not be hearing the end of it.
We can't be be friends with Ricky 50. Anymore. Too Cold Scorpio posterized him.
Like, that is the crazy. Also, the white kid is the only white kid in the group, so he is Tyler Hero. And
this is his origin story.
Yeah, this is Tyler Hero's origin story. This is actually in Wisconsin, which makes sense because it's cold. And yeah, that's how everything works. And it's hilarious because he's like, "Nah, they said they wanted to go to the arcade," and Scorpio's like, "No, you got to get to school."
Great message. Good baby face message.
Yeah, great message. But then the kid goes, "How are we gonna get there? In the limo?" And Scorpio goes, "No. Are we gonna fly?" Scorpio goes, "No, we gon' step." And then he just starts dancing.
They dance their way to school.
Those kids got there at like 1 p.m.
100%. Scorpio and the girls step to the school with the kids. The highlight package also, like, they also cut in at that point highlights of Scorpio in the ring, which include like excellent 450 splashes and excellent acrobatics. And I'm like, I know everything I need to know about Too Cold Scorpio from this one video package.
My last note on this was, I don't know what I just watched, but this is the most fucking saucy shit I've ever seen.
Yeah, Too Cold Scorpio has all of the sauce, and I think he stole some from that little kid by dunking on him. We're now going from the best promo we've seen on this show, by far, to
100%.
The best match of the five we're covering for Too Cold Scorpio. And it is an eclectic mix of wrestlers in ECW, Wrestlepalooza 1995, but it's a wonderful six-man tag match. It is Too Cold Scorpio, Cactus Jack, and Dean Malenko, who are the heels, against the Steiners, Rick and Scott, and Eddie Guerrero, the babyfaces. A great selection of guys. We have covered two of them before, Malenko in episode 22, and Eddie in our first ever episode, episode 1.
I didn't pay attention. I just clicked on the link. I didn't even see what it was. I just clicked on the link and went, because I was like, oh, it's Scorpio. I mean, how many matches, you know, can Evan really find here? And then I just see the fucking lineup of doom. Like, the SmackDown 6 is awesome in retrospect, but that isn't even compared to the quad. Like, when Mick fucking Foley is the worst wrestler in a six-man tag match, got something special here.
That's a good... Yeah, and, like, Foley was good. Foley was good as he always is. He was the worst part of the match.
No, that's not a knock on Foley.
Yeah.
I want to also preface that. That is not a knock on Foley. That is just the fact that this match is absolutely stacked with in-ring talent.
There's so much to get through. One of the first things I want to mention is that Joey Styles keeps calling Scott Steiner Scotty.
My second note was that. Scott Steiner being called Scotty will never sit right with me.
It's so weird. It's so unsettling because he could eat me. Steiner has one of the weirdest and most dramatic and drastic changes between like the start of his wrestling career and the end of his wrestling career.
But it's so weird because he was always fucking massive. He just wore a singlet, and then instead of wearing the singlet, he would just like wear pants, and he dyed his hair blonde, and he put a chain on his head.
Just yeah, he's had such a weird transition.
Yeah, here's the thing that was really weird to me early on. So it was Scott Steiner and Dean Malenko to start the match, and like, all right, so the Steiner brothers, both of them, were legit amateur wrestlers. They went to the University of Michigan. Yep. They were really, really good at it. And Malenko is just working him?
Yeah, because Malenko is the shooter.
But, like...
the man of a thousand holds, baby.
Dude! Scott Steiner is legit! And you're telling me that Malenko is just working him? All right, people, you just have to bear with me on this, because Scott Steiner, later on, when he's Big Papa Pump, yeah, not a good wrestler. Scott no. Steiner and the Steiner brothers? Fucking awesome.
Was in his bag. That man could grapple.
Yeah, like, he was legit good. He just eventually got too big for his own well-being, I guess. And apparently his head blew up as well. But, you know, that's beside the point.
The big thing about the Malenko-Scott-Steiner piece is Malenko suplexes Steiner to the outside and then hits a really good baseball slide.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite part of that. And that's when I noticed that there are an alarming amount of Zubaz pants in the crowd. But also, we need to bring back Zubaz pants.
Evan, do we need to bring back Zubaz
pants? I at least need to bring back Zubaz pants.
Or do you want Zubaz pants?
I want Zubaz pants back, and I think as a society, we would do better with them.
Evan is going to start up a P.O. box at some point.
And just send me Zubaz.
And the people are going to be able to send him Zubaz pants.
So the next pair, because you get a couple tags in the match, are Scorpio and Eddie. And Eddie's the fan favorite, as we mentioned before. Excellent.
So good.
So I tweeted from my personal account while watching this match that Eddie might be the best wrestler of all time, full stop, in terms of just like his abilities in the ring, because there's one piece in particular: swinging arm drag followed by a drop kick and a tope right in like bing bang boom order. And
yeah,
the man is just simply different. It is precise, it is clean, everything he does is so good. Scorpio, yeah, feeding him well. I thought, like, it takes two to tango, right? You got to have somebody selling the moves and taking the moves. They all work in unison, but, God, the thing I got from this was Eddie is amazing.
So good. I mean, yeah. I mean, another thing I got from just all of these matches was Scorpio can sell his ass off.
Yeah.
Like, he is so good at the selling, which sucks because it's kind of like the Dolph Ziggler. I guess he kind of fell into the Dolph Ziggler thing of, I'm so good at selling that they're just going to make me lose all the time. And yeah, it stinks. I mean, to be fair, wrestling that point was about personalities, and wow, he had a great character and some dope ass promo packages. The man couldn't really talk. So yeah, all he gets is one NWA title shot at Barry Windham and he gets rocked.
But also a talented guy in the mid card. So like we mentioned, he's in ECW at this point. He ends up having four World Television Championship reigns in ECW and one tag title reign with the Sandman.
Excuse me?
That's right. He is a one-time ECW World Tag Team Champion with the Sandman. Scorpio has some of the weirdest tag champion partners of all time.
How does that work?
He's won the ECW ones with the tag with the Sandman. He won the Pro Wrestling Noah tag titles with Vader and with Doug Williams.
Doug Williams? What the fuck?
And he won the WCW tag titles with Marcus Bagwell, a.k.a. Buff Bagwell.
Now, that makes sense, because they had a gimmick together.
Yes.
That one made sense. But I kind of really am upset that there isn't a Vader-Scorpio match in the selection. I would kill to see those two together. Can you imagine Vader hitting a moonsault, followed by a moonsault from Scorpio, followed by another moonsault from Vader? Like, what do you do?
The moonsault train.
What do you do?
Back to the match. What are some spots you liked?
There was a really nice press land by Scott Steiner here. And then that's when Eddie tacks in. We get all of the arm drags. A drop kick and then a tope in like 5 seconds, because Eddie, let's fucking go.
Yeah,
Eddie,
like Guerrero, said, you'll like never. That's the exact sequence that made me go, like, this man is the best.
He's the greatest in-ring performer of all time. I have no merit. Like, you won't hear any different from me. Like, I probably said it for Bret Hart, but, like, Bret Hart works a very specific style. Eddie could do anything.
Eddie can do it all.
Eddie could literally do anything you want him to. And, I mean, my God, he hits a brain buster on Scorpio where, like, Scorpio sold it to where I legit thought he was dead. He broke his neck or his back or literally anything. Like, it was awesome. And then Rick Steiner comes in, and you can't convince me that he and Tank Abbott are not the same person.
Rick Steiner at this point looks 43 years old, and he's not. I also love the nickname the Dogface Gremlin, because I love any nickname where you just make fun of yourself first so that other people can't. Like,
you know,
that's just insulting to be like, I'm the Dogface Gremlin.
Bringing this back to sports, do you know what Shamit Face is? Have you heard that thing with basketball, Shamit Face?
No.
So you know Landry Shamit on the Clippers? You just look at his face. If you saw him in public, you would be like, that's not a professional athlete. So there's a thing called Shamit Face. Number one, obviously, is Landry Shamit. Number two is probably Nikola Jokic.
Fair.
You look at Jokic. Number three is Joe Ingles. Those are the top three. They are
Caruso.
100%. Yeah, sure. You look at Rick Steiner, and you're just like, this guy is 100% a construction worker.
Yeah, he's a foreman.
100%. He works with his hands. He is not beating people up for a living.
But
and that
turns
is
out
what
he does
I
work with
of.
His hands, and he uses those hands to whoop ass.
Yeah, and that's just what I think of every time I see Rick Steiner. That and the fact that he looks so much like Tank Abbott.
He does. Scorpio in this match, he gets back in. He hits a really good super kick to Rick at one point, and I love that he meets Steiner at the top turnbuckle but gets bulldogged off. I thought that was a really, really fun spot.
Speaking of those two, they botched the head scissors.
Yeah, the head scissors wasn't great.
And it's ECW, so the crowd let them know about it.
Immediately.
Oh my god, there was a belly-to-belly from Rick to, I think, Scorpio on the concrete floor.
Oh no, it was to Cactus Jack.
Oh yeah, it was to Jack, because only Jack would be crazy enough to take something like that. That looked like it absolutely sucked.
Yeah, Rick is running show. Eddie comes in, goes for a frog splash to Malenko and misses. Great frog splash, of course.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't give you a
he
bad one
miss.
Ever.
No.
Foley hits an electric chair on Eddie that I thought was really fun. The contrast between Eddie and Mick Foley is so great that I really want to see that match, and I'm sure it exists, and I'm going to find it eventually. But... and then Scorpio hits a vicious powerbomb to Eddie, and then the Steiners just mob him when he goes for the pin.
That powerbomb is vicious, and that's something that I noticed in especially the matches after this, is that Scorpio has a damn good powerbomb.
Yeah, it's kind of
like he's a bigger guy, and he gets like he's not as small as your typical athletic high flyer guy, and I think that allows him to do some extra things like this, like have a power move like a powerbomb.
Yeah, it's like the Jericho powerbomb, where he does the two. The first one's always a snap one, and then he picks you up and he gives you a nice little softer one. But that first one is like, ugh. He just snaps it. And then we got a belly-to-belly from Rick. Again, the man loves a belly-to-belly. Off the middle rope to Scorpio.
Super sick.
And then we get a fucking Tiger Driver 98 by Scott Steiner. That was like, holy shit. He did it so effortlessly.
Yep. It took nothing.
Eddie hits a Hurricane Rana on DiMalenko, who was propped up on the shoulders of both Steiner brothers. He hits a dropkick to Foley, who was also propped up.
We get three different variations of the Doomsday Device, essentially, where the Steiners hold one person up and Eddie goes up top. We get the lariat one to Scorpio, the dropkick to Jack, and we get the head scissors to Malenko.
Yeah.
All, like, great.
Yeah, all look great. And then we get to the finish. Scorpio breaks the pin on the Malenko head scissors. The Steiners chase him out of the ring, and Malenko just rolls up Eddie and gets the win.
The shooter, baby. It gets you every time. Yeah, Malenko steals the win. He pins the ECW TV champion, which was Guerrero. This match ruled. Like, we didn't do it justice. Just this is the one. 5 stars in the Tokyo Dome for this match. 100%.
100%. And honestly, it kind of looked like it happened in not the Tokyo Dome, but some sort of dome. It was really cool. It really was. I like the crowd. The crowd more than anything was really fun to me. Like, there's nothing better than a hot ECW crowd.
They're wild, man.
And they were just on their feet. feet for this. They were vocal, and it makes me just really, like, I fucking miss crowds. Like,
yeah, me too. I miss that.
The Full Sail crowd was piss me off. And, you know, we can go to Corpus Christi, and it would piss me off. But, like, man, if you get a nice, hot crowd, like, there's just nothing better. And, like, I know I do my AEW recaps, and, like, when Jericho comes out, the crowd, like, sings Judas. And that's awesome. But, like, man, just to have sustained noise throughout the entirety of a match, I just want that so bad.
What is the best wrestling crowd? Best city? You can't say Boston.
Ooh, it's not Boston. I'm stuck between Chicago and Philadelphia.
That's exactly where I'm at, too. Yep.
Because the thing is, like, you could point to ECW with Philadelphia and the way that they booed Roman in 2015, but with Chicago, like, I think it might be Chicago.
I will say that I do the checking the stats for our podcast, and the most popular single city in terms of downloading this podcast is Chicago, so I'm going to say Chicago on the record.
I thought you were going to say Philadelphia, and I was like, shit, I hate Philly.
No, it's Chicago, so I'm going to say Chicago.
I genuinely... If you're from Philadelphia listening to this, I'm sorry, but I hate all of your sports franchises. All of them. I don't even like hockey, but fuck the Flyers.
I have nothing against the Eagles. I used to have things against the Flyers.
I have everything against the Eagles. Screw Big Dick Nick and what he did to the freaking Vikings a couple years back after the Minnesota Miracle.
Have you rented everything? You good?
Go ahead.
We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, last two matches for Two Cold Scorpio. Back from the break, let's look at another ECW match. This time it is a TV championship match. Two Cold Scorpio is defending ECW CyberSlam 1996 against the homicidal, genocidal, suicidal Sabu.
Boshophile. First off, we need to talk about how great of a name CyberSlam is.
Oh, yeah. It's what Cyber Sunday wanted to be.
Why has this not been used again? This is amazing. I know WWE owns the copyright to it. They own ECW, all the ECW stuff.
They own
stuff.
Everything. Let's be real.
Yeah. Well, they're
like the Amazon of pro wrestling.
Yeah, same difference. Like, man, just use CyberSlam. Why do I need a payback or a...
Great Balls of Fire?
Yeah, I mean, I like Great Balls of Fire. That was a fun little pay-per-view, I will say.
The show was good. The name was trash.
I love the... Hey, goodness gracious. I mean, screw the guy who made that song, but it's a fun song.
Oh, yeah, he's garbage too, yeah.
Anyways, I saw Sabu and I was like, ooh, botches. This was probably the best Sabu match I've ever seen.
This man is clean. Now, I don't think a single botch through the whole thing. Except for the very beginning where he tries to put the chair into the ring and it bounces out and the crowd boos.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
throws a chair in the ring right in the first minute of the match. It bounces right out and the crowd just goes, boo.
Yeah.
Love that.
This was fun. Scorpio missed a spinning back heel, and Sabu hits a spinning back kick to start off the match, and I was like, oh, so we're having fun now. Sabu hits him with the chair, which this is where that chair thing happened that Evan was referring to, and then does his chair spot into the corner where he sets up a chair and just jumps off of it.
Yep. He does that a couple times in this match. Early on, Scorpio gets tossed into the front row, and Sabu uses the chair to tope himself into the front row onto Scorpio. Not a single botch. It's clean as a whistle.
Yeah.
This is the Sabu that I think when people are willing to forgive him for botches, this is the thing they remember. Is how clean he looks when he does these.
That and also kind of being garbage as well. But Scorpio escapes a powerbomb and fucking drills Sabu with one.
With his snap powerbomb, yeah.
I mean, absolutely ruins this man with that. We get a Pele kick by Scorpio to break a hold a little later on. We get a rest spot. The rest spot is basically just Sabu putting on a terrible face lock. Pele kick. And it looked awesome. Absolutely amazing. Scorpio kicks Sabu in the gooch at one point. forces him out of the ring. It was not a kick to the balls. It just wasn't. That was the straight up gooch right there. And one of my favorite moves in all of wrestling that I feel like more people need to use. We got a surfboard stretch by Scorpio Sky.
Scorpio Sky.
Too cold Scorpio. Too many Scorpios.
Not enough Scorpios.
It looked amazing.
I love when they went to the outside again. Sabu with the chair-assisted clothesline knocking both men to the floor. I thought that was really great.
Yeah.
And then, like, Sabu with a somersault plancha in the entryway, in the, like, really tiny, crowded ECW entrance.
Yeah.
There's a chair shot that Sabu does to Scorpio's head that ricochets and clearly hits a fan. And it's like, that is, like, you can get away with that in the ECW arena. Like,
yeah,
they
the
are
people
expecting
want it.
Blood and to be involved in the action. So,
yeah,
like, it hit the guy and he just was like, yeah, we're fine. We're good.
Yeah, the guy was, like, excited. He's like, do I have to give an extra $5?
Yeah,
here
do I owe someone money for this? Thank you, sir. May I have another? Scorpio also uses a pizza pan.
Yeah.
I just wrote too cold Delicio. Ah,
this is why we need to take Evan out of the podcast sometimes.
These are why I make the big bucks.
Sabu throws a chair right at Scorpio's face, and then he hits the Arabian Facebuster. Scorpio does a slam where he looks like he was going to set up a tombstone, but
then
he just kind of fell forward.
Falls forward on him, yeah. That's a weird call.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, I thought that was a really weird decision.
Victory roll from the top rope by Sabu.
Which, the second I saw it, I know how much you love pinning predicaments and victory rolls and shit like that. And I was like, oh, Javier's going to pop. He's going to pop huge.
I was like, okay, that was the first time I'd ever seen anyone do something like that. And it was fucking beautiful.
It was gorgeous, yeah.
And for as much as I dislike Sabu because he botches every 5 seconds, that was freaking awesome.
That leads right into, right around that spot is where I wrote down, like, this is where I know Scorpio really is this cold. The way he walks away, he flapjacks Sabu, and before Sabu even hits the ground, the way Scorpio's just kind of, like, walking away from him, like, the man has drip. The man has sauce.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah, Sabu put on an armbar that looked terrible. And then I wrote, this match just never ends, because I swear to God, at this point, I'm 45 minutes in.
Yeah. 30-minute time limit, which we'll get to in a second.
Sabu sets up a table in the crowd, and he does his chair spot into a moonsault. But Scorpio moved, and not only did he move, but, like, Scorpio's, like, basically at the ring apron at this point, and Sabu still launched himself.
He's long gone, and Sabu was like,
Sabu
too late now.
Still, yeah.
Full send.
And he just crashed through the table.
ECW chants intensify.
And then we get to the spot where I'm like, all right, what are we doing here? where I basically went full Jim Cornette, because Sabu misses a moonsault.
Yeah.
And Scorpio hits a powerbomb that looked nasty. And then he hits a moonsault into the leg drop again,
which
is his finisher?
He's hit it a couple times in other matches. I think he hit it in the last match. The rotation on that man is so impressive.
It also makes no sense. He's
the moonsault
again.
Leg
he is big and he is kind of tall, like, so it's like, all right, how are you contorting this way? And it's a near fall, and at this point I'm like, all right, Sabu has literally died and he is still kicking out of this. Like, ROH doesn't even do this. Again, PWG doesn't even do this. This is even a Tokyo Dome main event right here. This is just kicking out to kick out.
Then there is a chair shot. Scorpio's on the top rope, and Sabu hits him with a chair shot. Another two count. Scorpio used a diving chair drop, essentially. Like, he just has a chair, drops it on Sabu. Misses. Sabu does a slingshot somersault leg drop. Finally gets a pin. Scorpio kicks out. Right as they announced 30 seconds to go, it was right before that. We get a time limit draw, and a really good time limit draw, an excellent match. I think you're right. I think this match would have been well served with an ending, like a definitive ending.
Can we get like a 20-minute match that has
20-minute draw
Sky
would have been Scorpio, too cold Scorpio, man.
Call I said Scorpio.
You said Scorpio Sky.
I didn't say Scorpio Sky. I want the tape to be replayed.
Run it
I
back.
I said Scorpio.
Everyone,
I said Scorpio winning.
I'm not going to cut it in or cut it out, but everyone just go back like 30 seconds and hear Javier say Scorpio Sky. Anywho, let's move to the Flash Funk era. The final match.
Yes.
This is Too Cold Scorpio in WWF, because when he went to WWF, which was right after ECW, he also did a little bit in New Japan between then. But he came in November 96 at the Survivor Series under the name Flash Funk. He danced the man. He was accompanied by his Funkettes and wore a zoot suit. So,
yeah,
Flash Funk is here, and I love the fact that his theme starts with, "Oh, Flash, you are so funky."
What is the Funkosaurus?
Brodus Clay.
Yeah, like him and the Funkadactyls. That's basically all I could think of at this point.
Yeah, he is the Funkosaurus pre-Brodus Clay.
Yeah, he was awesome. This was awesome. This was amazing. That entrance, I loved it.
Let's talk about the fit. We got to talk about the coat.
Yeah, the Godfather hat on with the brim,
and a white fur coat that is not a full fur coat. It's like a crop top coat that clearly doesn't close. It's just.
And I'm telling you right now, I would wear it.
Oh, absolutely,
I would wear it.
I've got nowhere to 100%. Go in it, but I would 100% wear it.
You tell me, I'd wear that to a TGI Fridays, not even eat at a TGI Fridays.
I realized we didn't even introduce the match. We just got so excited about Flash.
I don't care. And all right, so.
No, I'm introducing the match. We're doing it properly. It is Owen Hart versus Flash Funk, WWF Raw, February 17th, 1997. This is when Owen Hart was one half of the tag team champions alongside British Bulldog, and he's being introduced as Slammy Award winner Owen Hart with his theme that absolutely slaps, which we learned from the Bret Hart episodes.
And it's so important to note that this kicked off one of my favorite storylines ever. One of my favorite underrated storylines ever between Owen and Bulldog, which really started at the Royal Rumble when Owen eliminated Bulldog, his partner, and then blamed it on Austin. Which was the best, because it was kind of like a blind thing. Like, he didn't know who threw him over, and then he turns around, and he just sees Owen there, and Owen's like, it was him.
It was him right there. The bald man did it.
It's like, my man can just see the tape later.
I got to also say, about Funk's entrance, the people of Nashville, this is where it is, Nashville, were not into how long it was. He is dancing, and the Funkettes are dancing. They're having a good time. They're trying to get everybody up. And the people of Nashville were not feeling the funk.
There's not enough twang for him.
Needs more twang.
Owen has all of the gold. He has both tag team belts.
And his Slammy Award.
And his Slammy Award, which is awesome. And then the match starts. And, like, Owen is a technical savant. Like, the people know this. Owen Hart is one of the greatest in-ring technical performers of all time. Like, bar none. And Scorpio Sky is matching him hold for hold, move for move. And it's like, holy crap. Scorpio is, like, really fun and exciting, but, like, the dude can also grapple with the best of them.
There's one point really early on where Hart catches a kick from Funk, and Funk uses his body momentum to flip Hart from that. And, like, I've never seen that before.
I'd seen it before, but it was mostly...
I can't remember ever seeing it before.
I saw Will Ospreay versus Ricochet. I've seen it all.
That's true.
I thought it was cool because in that little part at the beginning where they're just really like rotating the arm and, you know, targeting the shoulder and doing those little like stupid arm twist motions or whatever, Owen flips over on his head, and it's a short arm clothesline that would make freaking Kazuchika Okada proud.
It's good stuff.
And Owen does the woo, and when he hit the woo, I was just like, all right, well, Owen's the babyface now because I'm cheering for him. Yeah, I don't care what happens.
I now want him to be successful, yeah.
Yeah.
I like when both men go for a dropkick and almost collide, and then they kind of like get their bearings again. I like when there's that little bit of realism of like, we both can try it. Oh, shit. Wait.
Yeah, so my thing with this match was, like, I thought the in-ring action was really fun, but it was like the fourth attraction of what was going on right
here. So many other things to talk about around here. So one thing is that Clarence Mason has accompanied Owen Hart to ringside at this point. We're going to get to how he gets involved after. But all of a sudden, commentary, which is Lawler and JR, right?
It's Lawler and someone. It might be just probably JR.
I think it's JR. Because I wasn't complaining, so it's probably JR. It says a representative of ECW is on the phone who wants to speak with Lawler. And it's Paul Heyman. He calls himself like Paul E. Paul Heyman. And he says next Monday at the Manhattan Center that they're going to fight. And this is all happening while the match is happening. There's a great set of monkey flips happening by Hart and Funk. And a Funk superkick while they're not calling the action. Because it's all about this ECW thing for next week. Which I think I've seen. Like, I've seen clips of the ECW invasion. And like Tommy Dreamer was there and Taz was there. Jerry Lawler shitting on ECW is always funny to me. I don't know why. It just, that was like one of the only times I thought Jerry Lawler was like really funny.
Yeah. But yeah, you mentioned, I mean, there was a nice little thrust kick by Scorpio. I didn't know who's the guy.
Clarence Mason. Random,
yeah, that dude was there. He distracted Owen. When he's applying, I think it was a sharpshooter. He was trying to apply some sort of hold on the legs. And it costs Owen because he eats a flying crossbody from the top rope to the outside by Scorpio. It looked real good.
Scorpio's excellent.
Then Bulldog comes out and talks to the guy and kicks him out, basically. Owen does a backslide for a near fall. I love backslides. Backslides are great.
Good things.
A fucking vicious German suplex by Owen Hart.
So good.
Vicious. Like, I straight up, like... I know you land on, like, the brim of your neck, top of your shoulders, kind of, on German suplex. It looked like Scorpio landed on his fucking head.
Also, important to note that I don't think we mentioned, which is that Bulldog does arrive and have words with Mason.
Yeah, that's what I said. He,
okay,
he comes
I didn't
out
hear
and
that
then
part.
He,
yeah.
He, like, kicks him out.
Yeah, he's like, go. I got this.
Piss off.
Go. a flawless British accent. Piss off. Then we also get another interruption of the match.
But this one was okay.
This one was great. Commentary throws to Stone Cold Steve Austin backstage for an inset interview, and the promo was excellent.
Yeah, and it basically was Stone Cold Steve Austin calling out Gorilla Monsoon, because it basically Monsoon made that the four-way match for the title that we saw. We covered this already in, what was it, the Vader episode?
Yep.
That match only occurred because, so Austin got eliminated, but none of the refs saw it in the Royal Rumble. He got eliminated, none of the refs saw it, and then he slid back in, eliminated Bret Hart, and won the match. Monsoon obviously was like, no, that ain't gonna fly, Sonny. So in case you're wondering why Austin never got a main event title shot at WrestleMania, that's why. And he's just cutting a great promo, and he goes, he says, I'm about this far from losing it, or something like that.
Yeah.
And he just goes, well, I'm about this far from whipping his ass. And I'm like, all right, Stone Cold Steve Austin is now babyface. I am now running through a wall for Stone Cold. Like, every time I see Stone Cold Steve Austin, especially in, like, this era or deeper on in the Attitude Era, it's like, I understand why he was the biggest star in the history of the business, because, like, I'm
he
watching
had
this
it.
In
just
2020, it. And it's just like, I want to root for this man. What is he doing now? Oh, wait, he's, like, 55.
I will still cheer for him, and I'd still take Austin in like any actual fight.
Yeah, like if Austin wants to fight like freaking Brock Lesnar, let it happen. I'm okay with this.
Austin will figure it out.
Yeah, Brock's doing the job for sure, though.
There is a massive top rope crossbody by Funk. Looks excellent. And the funky flash splash, which is a big moonsault, is gorgeous. Yeah. We've seen this. This is his ability to get high on top rope maneuvers. Two count on Owen. And then Bulldog gets involved in the finish. He hits Funk and holds his leg during the pinfall to allow Owen to win. The kind of, I guess, anger and animosity
that
existed.
He hits him with a slammy. That was also
important. Oh, he hit him with... I didn't see the slammy in his
hand.
He
hit him with the
slammy.
That
makes sense. Okay. I thought he just kind of like forearm clubbed him.
And then Owen hits a spinning back heel, which always looks great. His spinning back heel is probably the best ever.
And then Bulldog holds the leg of Funk during the pin. And...
which you would think would not be necessary. Like, you just basically hit the dude in the back of the head with a freaking metal object, and then he got kicked in the face. He's
better
not kicking out.
Better safe than sorry. And like I was saying before, this kind of squashes the animosity between Bulldog and Owen Hart for now.
Yes.
Because that will come back around later.
Round wrestling.
All five matches and promo have been discussed and talked about. What did you learn from watching these matches on... you know, Too Cold Scorpio, Flash Funk.
That Stone Cold Steve Austin has a really great promo.
Yes, what a good takeaway from Too Cold Scorpio's career.
Honestly, like, what I learned from this was kind of the equivalent of Too Cold Scorpio's career. I was really focused on the other people in all of these matches. Like, first match, I was focused on the Great Muta. Second match, I was focused on how much I didn't like Barry Windham. The six-man tag, I was focused on how freaking good Eddie is and how big Scott Steiner is and why the hell does Joey Styles keep calling him Scotty. The Sabu match, I was more focused on Sabu. And this match, I was really interested in Owen. Also, Stone Cold appeared, so I no longer cared about anything else other than Stone Cold Steve Austin. And that's kind of emblematic of his whole career, if you think about it, because he really is kind of one of those guys who was really forgotten about in his era, much less, like, now, you know? And
the
sucks.
Thing is, he's still wrestling now.
Pardon me?
He is still wrestling. He has a match at Game Changer Wrestling for the Culture, I believe against AR Fox, in the beginning of October. But so after WWF, he went to Pro Wrestling Noah for 6 years. That's when he won tag titles with Vader. Did a sporadic return to WWE in 2006 and didn't actually make it on TV.
Okay.
Yeah, he didn't make it to TV. And then has been on the independent circuit since 2005. And works with Rocky Mountain Pro Wrestling Academy in Colorado. Wrestles for them, trains for them, and is still active on the indie scene. So
good for Too Cold.
54 years old, still doing it.
I mean, look, the guy is very talented. I just, even watching the matches, I could just see that there was something that wasn't there. And, you know, I can understand why he really was kind of like an undercard or mid-card at best kind of guy, because, yeah, he's got the talent. You want him on your show, but you don't really want him high up on the card.
Wrestling needs a whole bunch of different pieces to work, right? One of them is somebody who can make everybody look good. Too Cold Scorpio, from what we've seen in these matches, has excellent athleticism and excellent moves in his own arsenal, but also makes people look good. And the only way to get people better and to really build up stars is to have them get wins over guys that look quality, and Too Cold Scorpio can make a loss look quality.
Yeah. Shout out to Too
Cold. And he was Flash Funk, god damn it.
Yes, Flash Funk was really the important part of this. I'm very disappointed that I didn't get any Job Squad.
No Job
Squad,
because I didn't want to see him get jobbed out. I wanted to see...
He jobbed out in like every match, though.
Yeah, but I wanted to see ones where it was at least more competitive. Job Squad matches were not competitive.
But I did get out Snow, so they were fun.
That's going to wrap up this week's podcast. Before we go, I want to again plug the new show coming, Crossbody Countdown, on Sportscaster. Our first episode is going to be October 2nd. It's going to be...
Yes.
We got a little bit of a break. So 2 weeks from when this podcast gets released...
The one-year anniversary of Dynamite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's exciting. Good for Dynamite. Good for them. Yeah. Good for Tony Khan and all his money.
Ironic that we're somehow going to watch it after a SmackDown. But
yep, we absolutely will. Let's plug the socials one more time. Follow Crossbody of Work on Twitter and Instagram at Crossbody of Work. Email the podcast at crossbodyofworkpod@gmail.com. A few ideas for who we should cover next or for other bonus things. Maybe things we should cover on Crossbody Countdown. You should email us there too. Tell us what we should talk about on our first show. That sounds like a really good time to me.
Yeah, tell me if I have to watch Impact Wrestling, because I saw it once after Slammiversary, never went back. So... tell me if I need to do that.
Please don't make me do that.
Please don't make me do it. I use Twitch a lot, and I don't mind, you know, doing it. I just don't want to. But if Evan forces me to, the people will get their Impact.
The people will get Impact stuff. At the end of our shows, we have been highlighting different social justice issues. This one is going to be specific to our listeners in the United States who are of voting age. When this episode drops, there are 45 days until the American election. In the show notes this week is the link to Vote Save America, where you can make sure you have a plan to vote. You can adopt a state that is going to be a battleground state. Just go to Vote Save America, figure out your plan to vote, make sure you're registered, make sure your friends are registered to vote. Like, holy shit, it's so important. Just go do it. It doesn't take long. Figure out your plan to vote. I know it's going to be different this year. You can vote by mail, absentee ballots, figure it all out. So important. 45 days to the American election when this drops.
Yeah, I am... lucky that Massachusetts is a very progressive state, and I'm able to get pretty much every means of voting possible. I'm lucky that I get to do early voting. That is going to happen sometime in October. But yeah, not you know, I would recommend if wherever you are. I mean, hey, apparently we get a lot of listeners in Chicago. If you're in Illinois, research this stuff. See what you can do, whether you can vote early. You know, I know that a big deterrent for people on election day is they go, they see the big ass line, and they're just like, yeah, screw that. You know, Illinois, I don't know if they are predominantly Democrat or Republican, but hey, I mean,
just vote. All that matters. Just vote. Go get your things out. Go vote. Yeah,
just do it. Even if you are in a state like Massachusetts that is predominantly Democrat, where quite literally my vote specifically, seeing as I live in, not only do I live in the most predominantly Democrat state in the country, but also Boston itself, in my exact town, region of Boston, have no chance of, even if I could vote Democrat, I'd probably be like one of like five people to do so. Or sorry, Republican, I'd probably be like one of five people to do so. So my vote literally doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I'm still voting because it matters in the grand scheme of things.
Exactly. It matters in the grand scheme of things to vote. 100%. That's why it's in the show notes this week. If you're an American, go vote. If you're not an American, then cool. You're off the hook. I hope your elections, when they come, are really great.
Don't be involved in ours. How about that?
That is a good point.
If you're not American, stay away from the American election. Do not hack. Do not do the thing. If you're in Russia specifically, stop listening to the podcast at this
point. Don't know how many listeners we have from Russia, but I'll shout out what I know are the top three cities for us, which are Chicago, New York, and Seattle.
Oh, shout out Seattle. I love
Shout out
the
West
music.
Coast. Shout out to the West
love
Coast.
Love the music coming out of Seattle.
Let's wrap it up there. Javier, any last words for the people?
Black Lives Matter. Keep fighting the good fight. And vote.
We'll see you next week.